The difference between doctrine, principles, preferences, convictions, and how we determine where that line is. As a fundamental Baptist, as you know, there's a lot of different types of fundamental Baptists. So what type of fundamental Baptist are we, and how do we know, how do we determine how we make those kind of decisions? Where do we set our standards for dress? Where do we set our standards for platforms? What?
I'm a fundamental Baptist.
Keep moving. So now there's a... Jace, go ahead and pass those out. There is a little handout for you to help you follow along tonight. Jace has those. If somebody wants to help him pass those out, that would be great because we need to get this started real quick. While he's doing that, let me give you a quick little piece of testimony. I'm going to give him my whole personal testimony. But I would say when I was 16 years old and had very little church experience, I mean, very little. I had gone to a Nazarene church when I was young. I had gone to a Southern Baptist church a little bit when I was young. And when I say a little bit, I mean like 2 to 3 times in an entire year. I have gone to my grandmother's church, which is Church of God, Pentecostal Holiness Church. And so I was very, 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 very confused about the Bible. I didn't understand a lot of things. I heard some things at one church, some things at another church, some things at a third church. And a lot of it didn't make any sense to me. And nobody ever talked to me personally about salvation. It wasn't until I was 16 years old I got invited to a church and heard the gospel clearly. The first Sunday I heard it clearly, I walked down the aisle and got saved. And so the problem with that, which wasn't a problem, the problem was that I didn't know anything biblically. I had never, this is kind of embarrassing to say, but I had never read any part of the Bible for myself. Now, my grandmother had read the Bible to me a few times, and I heard people read the Bible when I had gone to different churches, but I had never picked up a Bible and just looked at it, read it for myself. So my standards, what I believe is the biblical doctrine, or what I believe was a biblical standard or a conviction, was just what my parents believed. And theirs weren't based on Bible. There was just their own opinion. And so I went to this fundamental Baptist church in South Carolina, very conservative church back in the early 70s. This was 1973. And they had some very, 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 very strict biblical standards. In fact, at this particular church, I remember them having a plaque on the wall. This is, I think I mentioned this before, on the outside wall when you came into the church. On the beams, there were different brick columns. And on each brick column, as you came towards the auditorium, there was a little plaque. And the plaque said, "Ladies, we prefer that you do not wear pants in our sanctuary." That was a biblical standard that they had. Or at least they thought it was. Anyway, and I was like, wow. And I remember when I got saved, first thing my youth pastor told me was, "I'm glad you got saved. If you're a real Christian, you'll cut that hair." I didn't have really super long hair. I had hair that kind of came across my eye. You guys might remember from the 70s. I did this a lot. It was cool back then. You know, I had that red hair. And I had Elvis Presley sideburns. Some of you know what I'm talking about when I say that, right? The big flared sideburn. And my youth pastor said, "Christians don't dress like, don't act like that." And so I cut my hair because I was sure if my pastor said that's what we don't do, that must be in the Bible. So I cut my hair, and it went on from there. A year later, I was called to preach. I went off to a Bible college, went to a very, very, very strict Bible college. And boy, rules. I mean, all kinds of rules. Even coming from my youth department, I had to get another haircut because my hair touched my ear. I don't mean it touched my ear like over the top. I mean, when here, it touched my ear. It wasn't supposed to touch your ear. And I had to wear a tie to every class because I was a ministerial student, so I had to wear a tie. I didn't have to wear a suit, but a shirt and tie to every class. Between male and female students, there was a no-touching rule on campus. In fact, they called it the 6-inch rule. Anybody ever heard any of this? Okay. So some of you heard it. So we had a 6-inch. In other words, if I sat beside a girl in church, there had to be 6 inches between us. And we would have dorm supervisors who would come up behind us and go, "Excuse me." That was your only warning. If you did it again, you got demerits, and then eventually you got problems with the dean of students. And so I heard everything they said in Bible college. I, like I said, I was a brand new Christian. I was only saved for a year, so I went off to Bible college. And in my mind, everything they taught me was doctrine. Anybody see a problem with that? Okay, I did. I found out really fast when I got out of Bible college, graduated from Bible college. Went to a little church in Ohio, was my first church, and I've been in 5 different churches since then. One for 20 years, this one for about 15 years, but before that, 2 or 3 years here, 4 or 5 years there. And all those churches had different standards, right? And this one said this is okay, and this one said this is okay, and this one said, oh, no. No, not in our church. Women don't wear pants in our church, okay? And, you know, men, anyway, the list went on and on and on. And I kept hearing all these lists. Well, as a youth pastor, I had to be the guy who told my teenagers whatever the church standard was, right? And so I would tell them, hey, if you're a good Christian, because I'd heard this in Bible college and I heard it when I was a youth pastor, if you're a good Christian, you won't have your hair cut. You'll cut your hair shorter. And you know what my teenager said to me? Why? And my answer, because. That's why. I'm the youth pastor. That's why. You going to get smart with me? That worked, by the way, with teenagers. It didn't do too bad. We had a big, large youth department. They followed my leading. I began to define some more things in my own head and my own mind. But I never was comfortable with it. Well, after I'd worked in youth ministry for 10 years, I went to single adult ministry, and guess what didn't work? Because I said, they're like, that's stupid. You talk to college and you say, well, that's our cause. And they're like, cause why? What does it say? Where does it say that in the Bible? Show me a verse. And I was kind of like, well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. And I actually did this. I said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We'll have a Bible study on that next week. I'll address it. And so I had to start studying to make sure, why do I stand where I stand? Why does Faith Baptist Church have the standards or not have the standards that you would like? What is it? Where do we get these decisions from? Okay. And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight. So you've got your little chart there, right? We tried to put this up on that's not working, right? How many of you can read that? That's because you're right down here in front. Yeah. We tried to do that. It's not going to work out. But you see the chart. Basically, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go down this one side that says 1, 2, 3, and 4. 4 is on the back of your paper, by the way. 1, 2, 3, and 4. And I'm going to fill in those things. I'm going to tell you the difference between Bible doctrine and Baptist distinctives, the difference between that and principles, the difference between principles and institutional or church standards, and the difference between standards and personal preferences, convictions, and cultural differences. Because all four of those are different things. Here's the problem. As a young pastor, I didn't understand that myself. I thought I knew what I was talking about. I didn't really understand it. And what happens if you don't understand that, you have to be careful. Even in our church, you have to be careful that you don't preach personal standards as a doctrinal standard. Doctrine doesn't change. Personal preferences do change from people to people and pastor to pastor. Now, you guys know that when you talk about Baptist churches, there are a lot of different kinds of Baptist churches. I don't know if you know this. When you talk about fundamental conservative Baptist churches, there's a lot of fundamental conservative Baptist churches that are much different than other fundamental conservative Baptist churches. So why is it that faith? When we talk about the faith Baptist difference, that's what we're going to talk about the next 2 weeks, 6 weeks. Why are we different? Why do we stand where we stand? Okay, and so we'll go back to that first page there. We'll go back to number one on the top corner there, and I'll fill in that for you, and then we'll go across the top. Okay, and you'll understand as I'm going across. All right. Let me see if I can help you out here. So when number one, if you're trying to fill in those blanks, number one is Bible doctrine. Bible doctrine. The word you're looking for is doctrine, and Baptist distinctives. Bible doctrine. And Baptist distinctives, okay? And I'm not going to read all the verses, but I'll read this first part of some of these verses. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. I charge thee therefore, Paul talking to Timothy as a pastor, I charge thee therefore before God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Okay, that's part of our job as a pastor. Verse 3, for the time will come, and that time, by the way, I think is here. The time will come when they will not hear sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of the ministry. Now, one of the things I'm trying to do today is show you how a ministry works and how we make these decisions. One of the first things we have to look at is Bible doctrine, what we believe doctrinally. By the way, if you join Faith Baptist Church, you should have gotten a little booklet like this that says Faith Baptist Church Constitution and Bylaws. Okay? And if you didn't get one of those, you need to get one. You need to know where we stand doctrinally. I'm not going to go through all the doctrines of Faith Baptist Church tonight. That would take forever. But that's the first part. You'll see the name of the church in the article number 2 is our church covenant. Why we establish the church. Then number 3 is our doctrinal statement. And it gives you doctrinal statements on everything from the Holy Scriptures, the Godhead, the person and work of Jesus Christ, the person and work of the Holy Spirit, the personality of Satan, man, heaven, eternal state, salvation, regeneration. Why do we believe those things and where do we see those in the Scripture? Okay? So that's Bible doctrine, all right? When you look across the top there in that second little box, a Bible doctrine is an established tenet of the faith based on clear biblical teaching. These essential doctrines must be true to make salvation possible, but not to believe all of them to be saved. Give you an example. When I talk about Bible doctrine, let me ask you a question. Is the deity of Christ a Bible doctrine? That's not a Bible principle. That's clearly stated in the Scripture who Jesus Christ is, right? So that is a Bible doctrine. Is salvation by grace through faith a Bible doctrine? Yes, absolutely. Is the blood atonement a Bible doctrine? Yes. There are certain things that I can prove absolutely. If you believe the Bible, and I can take the Bible and I can prove them, I don't have to, it's not based on a biblical doctrine, that would be a principle, but I can read it clearly from the Scripture. This is what yea doth the Bible say. And we have certain things that we believe as Baptists that are Bible doctrine. And when you join a church, you should know what the doctrine of the church is. In fact, I do not believe you should join a church unless you know what the doctrine is. That's why when somebody comes forward, you know, you see the deacon meet with them and they'll get their information. One of the things they do at that meeting is give them one of these. Now, I will say this. A lot of times people don't read them. That's not our fault. Okay? That falls on you. So Bible doctrine and Baptist distinctives. Now, you guys, there's a little, what do you call it, anagram where you use the letters. Is that the right word? I think that's the right word. The Baptist distinctives, the 7 or 8 Baptist distinctives, most of you know, probably heard people say this before. Basically, they go with B, the Bible is our sole authority, B-A, the autonomy of local church, that's a Baptist distinctive, B, the P, the priesthood of the believer, B-A-P-T, 2 offices, the pastor and the deacon. That makes us distinctive. There's a certain things that Baptists believe the Bible teaches. We don't change those distinctives, okay? If you want to find out the rest of the distinctives, you can see me after service. They took some of my time, so I'm going 900 miles an hour, and I'm very sorry for that. But I've got to get this done, and I want to make sure you get it. So, there are certain Bible doctrines and Baptist distinctives. Now, you may notice after that, application. All Bible doctrine applies to all believers and must be taught as dogma. That is a biblical truth, not arguable. If you're a member of our church and you want to argue with me about the blood atonement, I'm going to take the Bible and I'm going to say, here's where the Bible says that. Here's where you find this in the Scripture. And if you say, I don't agree with that, then you should not be a member of this church. I probably won't throw you out, but I'm probably not going to let you teach Sunday school either. And I'm not letting you be involved in Awana either. And I'm not going to, definitely not going to let you up on this platform. And we shouldn't. That is dogma. That does not change. Next little thing here. So does that change? No. Doctrine does not change. This does happen, though. Doctrine doesn't change, but the believer changes according to the doctrine. There were things when I was younger that I believed were Bible doctrine that weren't actually Bible doctrine. That didn't change. They didn't become no longer Bible doctrine. What happened? I realized that's not a doctrine of the Scripture, and so I don't have that on my doctrinal list. Are you with me? So that doesn't change. I would change, but that doesn't change. Do you defend that? Yeah, you should be willing to defend Bible doctrine. In fact, there is a sense, and I think I can say this, there is a sense when you should be able to willing to defend all Bible doctrine, even with your life. The truth is the truth. There, you know, it's easy for me to stand here and say I would die for some of those truths, that because nobody's ever threatened me. But saints throughout the ages have had to die for their truth. For Bible doctrine. I hope, I will say it this way, I'll be honest as I can. I hope and I think that I would be able to die than rather deny that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Messiah come in the flesh. I'm not denying that. You put a gun to my head and I hope you say, you would. I haven't had a gun put in my head or heard the hammer click back, so I don't know. But I'd like to think I would be willing to defend that even to death. Here's another question. So, is that a test for association? Yes, that's a test for association. Bible doctrine is an essential test for fellowship and or association. You cannot be, you should not be a member of our church. You can be and say you aren't. But you shouldn't be a member of a church where you don't agree with Bible doctrine. I've had that happen many times. I've had grown up with young people and grown up with single adults and young married couples, and they get a little older and they think our church is too conservative, and they go to another church that's not as conservative, but their doctrine is wrong, but they like the church and they like the people. That's not right. No, you don't dump Bible doctrine for fellowship. You don't dump Bible doctrine so you can have a coffee shop in your church, or a pool, or whatever it is you like about that church, or the big activities they have. Bible doctrine should never change. Doctrine does not change. The truth is the truth from the Scripture. Amen? And you ought to be able to defend what you believe. Now, I know you're not a pastor, and you're not, most of you, some of you are Sunday school teachers and have been for years, but not everybody is, and you think, well, that's not my job. Yet, every individual believer should know what they believe. And you should be able to read the church doctrinal statement, look up those verses and say, yes, I agree with that. I definitely agree with that. I see in the Bible where homosexuality is definitely condemned, right? Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 2. I see that in the Bible and I stand there. I will tell you right now, we will not allow a homosexual teacher in our church. Because they're doctrinally wrong. That's not going to change. Well, the culture and today's society, I don't care. That's not changing. Okay? So you understand what doctrine is. Now, here's the next level. Okay? Go to number two. Number two in that list there is Bible doctrine and Baptist distinctives. Number two, principles of holiness. Okay? Now, principles of holiness, you look in the next box, that's a position or standard derived from clear scriptural evidence. Those principles are not necessary for salvation, but they are a vital part of our sanctification. Okay? So, everybody still with me? I know, you could read that up there. A position derived, taken from, clear scriptural evidence, they're a vital part of our sanctification. I'll give you an example. Let me ask you a question. Is there anywhere in the Scripture that it says, thou shalt not smoke cigarettes? Yes or no? No. How about this? Is there anywhere in the Scripture that says you should not look at pornography? Yes or no? You do know those are standards of our church, though, right? Well, why is that? You said, but there's no definite doctrinal principle about, well, they're principles. There's no definite doctrinal statement about in the Scripture. How about gambling? Is there a biblical prohibition in the Bible? Can you find me a prohibition in the Bible against gambling where it says gambling is wrong? Anybody want to try that? Yet I have preached to young people and I have preached to adults and I have preached to older folks that gambling is wrong, pornography is wrong. What was the other one I said? And smoking. I believe all those things are wrong because there are some biblical doctrines that talk about defiling the body and keeping the temple of the Holy Ghost. Those are biblical doctrines. And from those doctrines, I derive certain principles. By the way, somebody asked me, when you're talking about gambling, what's the principle, what's the doctrine behind that? How about the doctrine of, as a Christian, not being selfish? Because for me, gambling is the highest form of selfishness. I don't know if you ever thought about this, but let me say something about gambling real quick. So, let's say about 100 people in here. Let's say 100 people in here. We make a little gamble tonight. We all gamble a dollar. We put it all in a basket. And we're going to draw one number and somebody gets the dollar. Somebody gets the $100. What am I hoping happens? Some of you say, you hope I win. Yeah, but there's another side to that. What else am I hoping? I hope everybody else loses. Doesn't that sound Christ-like? I hope you're all losers. I hope I get all your money. Selfishness, covetousness. Right? Think about it. In other words, there are Bible doctrine. There are doctrinal statements in the Bible that can condemn those things, and so I can derive a principle from that, and so that's where we have biblical principle. Now, go across the list. Here's another thing. So it applies. I believe that also applies to all believers and should be taught as scriptural truth. Right? If you want to come up and argue with me about pornography, good luck. because I'm pretty sure what the Bible says about lust, about adultery, about fornication, and all those Bible doctrinal truths apply to that principle. Agreed? You still with me? Everybody still with me? Okay, so understand that. So it applies to all believers and should be taught a scriptural truth. These are principles that must be accepted if we are to daily walk in the Spirit. Derived principles should be taught as principles, not doctrine. I cannot say there is a doctrinal standard against smoking. I can say there is doctrinal truth, and I can derive a principle that we shouldn't smoke. I can explain that. I can sit down with a young adult. I can sit down with any college student. I can sit down with anybody who believes the Bible and explain those things clearly by using those biblical truths. Does that make sense? So maybe I don't have the exact statement, but I do have biblical principle based on biblical truth to derive that from. Still with me, everybody? This is the easy part, by the way. We're getting all the easy stuff out of the way real quick. So here, let's go to the next thing. So should they change? Me personally, I will say no. I do not think they change. Biblical principle does not change. If it's based on biblical truth, by the way, should it change? No. What happens is the believer matures. There were some things that I used to think were wrong, but after I've studied the Bible, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong. My Bible college will take my degree back. I don't think there's anything wrong if my hair, when it does right now, touches the rim of my ear. I find no biblical principle. I mean, I find no biblical doctrine, and I find no biblical principle that says that. I do think there is a biblical principle that men ought to look like men and women ought to look like women. After all, it was God who created two sexes, right? And so, where that line is nowadays is really kind of, you know, that we'll talk about some other things involved in this a little bit later. But when you're talking about cultural differences and you're talking about national differences and you're talking about preferences and you're talking about how social order changes a little bit, some of those things are affected by that. But no, I don't. I used to think that if you had long hair as a man, you were wicked. Right? If you have long hair as a man and you want to look like because you want to look like a woman, you are wicked. That's a confusion of the sexes, and that's a problem we have today. You understand the difference? Okay? I used to teach my teenage girls, if you wear pants, you're not godly. I know. I had to grow up. I got to learn stuff too. I wasn't born smart. I'm really not smart yet. But no, the principle there is what? The principle isn't pants or skirts. What's the principle? The principle is modesty and decency, right? If you wear a skirt so short that every time you bend over we see everything we shouldn't see, that's immodest. I'm sorry. You say, I don't like that kind of teaching. That's a Bible principle. Let's not kid each other. So that changes. By the way, some things I used to believe were okay, I also now don't believe they're okay. I've kind of changed my stand on. And that's what happens. I'm maturing. I'm finding my own doctrine I haven't changed, but I have changed in some of the Bible principles that I have because, well, I don't see that in the Bible, or I do see that in the Bible, and I see where that principle applies here, right? Okay, hopefully you're still with me. Now we get to the fun stuff. Now it gets really fun. Okay, so here's another thing. So then there are what I would call, did I go to the cross that? I didn't go to the cross, did I? Those are what we must be willing to fight for. I don't know if I'd die for some of those things, but I would definitely fight for them. If our church decided we're going to change our stance on absence from alcohol, I'd fight about that. Would I die for it? Well, no. But I'd fight for it. I'm the old timer here, and probably, I don't want to say I'm more conservative than the other pastors. I don't know, because that's a thin line. Nobody. Some things there would be more. Some things I would be more. But I fight for standards. Right? And so everybody's a little different. So, that's something we fight for. I believe biblical principle is also an essential test for fellowship and association. I think it almost has to be because if you start making different biblical principles and we're basing it on truth, then we're going to have a problem. Right? So that's what I'm going to say on that. Number three. Now, number three is a little touchy because I'm going to call that institutional or governmental standards. So you have doctrine, clear Bible doctrine. You have principles derived from clear Bible truth. And now we're talking about standards. Should, all right, look up at me for a second. Should Faith Baptist Church have standards of dress, standards of membership, standards of association? Yes, we should. Now, here's the hard part. Where are those lines? How many would agree with me that's tough? How many would agree with me on this? Because I'm on dangerous ground now. How many would agree with me that a lot of churches are split because of things like that? Had major, major problems because of that. Okay? Let me see if I can help you out with this. A standard of practice adopted by an institution, whether that's a church, whether that's a home, whether that's a school, whether that's someplace you're employed, whether that's government-based or biblical doctrine, principle, personal, I mean, they're based on biblical doctrine, principle, personal convictions, and literally on preferences. I've mentioned this before. Pastor Monty has a weird little thing in our staff manual. In the staff manual, it actually says no pastor is allowed on the stage on Sunday morning or Sunday night without a suit and a white, it actually says the word white, a white shirt. Somebody want to show me that in the Bible? Okay? Not in the Bible. But he is the authority. I work under his authority. He's the pastor. And therefore, I wear a white shirt most time on Wednesday night, because, you know, I'm ultra fundamental. And I wear a tie, I wear a shirt and tie, but not just because he says it, but that's the way I was raised, that's the way I was taught in Bible college, and I try to look my best and represent, I think I'm representing Jesus Christ. You don't have to agree with me on that. That's my own personal opinion and my own personal reason for doing what I do. Okay? So, you've got things like that. How about when you talk about standards, there's so many things I could go to. For instance, we have a standard that anybody that drives a church bus has to have a CDL, a commercial driver's license. Now, we could defy the government. They're not checking on us unless they do something wrong. But why do we do that? Because that is a governmental standard. The government says that's what's supposed to happen. If somebody's driving a passenger bus with more than 15 people on it, then they have to have a CDL. We obey that law. When I drive, I'm that guy. So I probably shouldn't tell you this, because if you see my black truck on the interstate, you're going to be mad. I'm that guy that typically drives right around 65 in a 65. I know. I'm weird. But everybody else is, yes. I know. I've heard all the stories all my life. When I go places, people are always saying, are we ever going to get there? We always seem to arrive. And people who sped there before me, you know, get there 5 minutes faster. I've never figured out what that 5 minutes. But that's a governmental standard, okay? When I went to Bible college, they had certain standards, right? If I wanted to be a student in that college, guess what I had to do? I had to obey those standards. You know what I did? I had my hair cut above the rim of my ear. I did not grow a beard, because in that Bible college at that time, they did not let you grow a beard. I think that was more of a convenience for them, so they didn't want to say how long, how short, how thick, how shaggy. Just no beards. Sometimes it's easier. And institutions, do institutions, churches, governments, do institutions have the right to set those kind of standards? Yes. As long as what? As long as they don't violate any biblical principle or doctrine. Agreed? That makes sense? Does Faith Baptist Church have a right in their teen department? I'm not in the teen department, so I don't know what the rules are. But does Pastor Ryan have a right to say, all right, on this activity, nobody wears shorts? Is anything wrong with him saying that? No, he can say that. You say, well, my kids won't come if he does that. That's fine. Nobody's saying you have to come. Well, that's not fair. My kids wanted to come. Well, then put some pants on them. I don't think it'll kill them. I know it's summer. I wear shorts. If I'm going to mow the grass, trust me, I'm not wearing a suit and tie. Although I knew a pastor who did. I honestly did. No, you laugh. I know. James, did I know a pastor who did that or not? Yes. James knows him too. Yeah. Somebody told me that one day, and I said, that's crazy. He does not do that. And I drove by to pick him up one day. We had to go to the hospital, and I drove by. He said, I'm outside. Just pick me up in the yard. Sure enough, he's mowing the grass. I was like, are you kidding me? But That was him. Okay. So there you have a right to do that. By the way, when I worked, some of you know, I worked for Wendy's for a time. And you know, back in that day, some of you may remember this, Wendy's employees used to wear striped white and blue shirts. The employees called them clown shirts. They had to wear, and I was a manager, so I wore a short sleeve blue shirt. They had a silver tag. I had a gold tag. Had my name on it. They had their name on there as a silver tag. And I don't know how many people told me when I was there, employees, why don't we get to wear blue shirts? You know what my answer was? You're not management. You want to be management, you do better, you get promoted, you become a manager, you can wear a blue shirt. I don't think that's fair. Oh, I'm sorry. Institutions have a right to set a standard. Again, as long as they're not unbiblical. It applies to all those, I'm on the application part, it applies to all those who be members in or wish to be participants with the authority of that particular, should be under the authority of that particular institution. Association or union implies agreement with and or submission to the standards of that institution. I think I mentioned this, but when I went to Baptist Bible College back in 1974, they sent to me at my home, once they accepted me, a student handbook, and you had to read the student handbook, and in the very back it said, I agree to abide by all the principles and policies of Baptist Bible College. And then it said, signature. And I signed it. I did not like their principles and policies. Most of them I did, but there were a few I was like, that's stupid. I actually thought that. I'm like, that's the stupidest thing ever. But I signed it. When I got to the college, I obeyed the principles and policies of Baptist Bible College. Why? I agreed to. I always thought it was weird. Kids getting kicked out of school because they have a fight about, I'm not going to do that. You can't make us do that. I asked one kid one time, it was a friend of mine, I said, didn't they send you a handbook? He said, yeah. I said, did you read it? He goes, yeah. I said, did you sign it? He goes, yeah. I said, I don't understand you at all. He said, well, I think your stuff is crazy. I said, you shouldn't have come. Right? Why did you come? That didn't make any sense to me. If we have certain policies at our church you don't like, nobody is forcing you to be a member. Okay. By the way, don't leave after this message because I'll really get in trouble. Okay. People start quitting, I'll be in big trouble. Okay, so what about the next level? Okay, so then you got number four. We're good with all those? 1, 2, 3, got it all? Number four. Personal convictions, preferences, and I think it will also enter into what? For what? Oh, yes. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't go all the way across. Standards-based, yes. That's yes or no. Why would it be no? Because if it's not based on biblical truth, it's no. If it violates biblical truth. It doesn't have to be based on biblical truth, but if it violates biblical truth, it would be no. Standards based solely on personal preference may change with leadership. Do you know that we could, if Pastor Monty passes away, leaves, resigns, whatever, retires, We'll probably get a new pastor, and guess what? The standards may change. How horrible! Sometimes we may get some really crazy conservative guy. I tell you what, if it was me, standards would change. That's who I am. I don't make any bones about it. You say you don't agree with him? I didn't say that. You don't know what I'm talking about. I'll list the standards for you. I'm not that crazy, but things would change. That's what happens, okay? These we should accept, willing to accept and obey as members of the institution, right? If you join a college or a church or you go to a teen activity, you want to be involved with that, then follow the standards. Don't be silly. And then finally, an association with any institution should be determined on a case-by-case basis. There may be something that you have a personal conviction that's not based on the Bible, but they have a personal standard that's not based on the Bible. They have a personal standard that's also not based on the Bible. You have to decide now, how important is my personal standard? Is it okay? And by the way, many of you do that right now in this church. Don't look at me like I don't know that there's some things you don't agree with. Right? You're here not because you agree with the standards. You're here because you agree with the preaching, the doctrine, and the principal truths that are preached on. Amen? And that's why you should be here. Those are the main things. Right? Everybody still good with me? You don't have to agree with me. I'm just making sure you got the understanding. So number four, there are personal convictions, preferences. There's some things I like that you might not like. And there's cultural differences. Not everything. I've been to, I don't know, 8 or 9 different countries, Vietnam, Peru, South America, Uruguay, Nicaragua, Mexico, I don't remember all, on different mission trips. And guess what? They do things, some things in their church, different than we do. Do you know in some of those hot, arid climates, they don't wear ties at all? How ungodly. Right? That has nothing to do with biblical standard, right? That's a cultural difference, and you go along with it. By the way, when I was there and spoke in the pulpit, especially in Nicaragua, I didn't wear a tie. Somebody goes, "You didn't wear a tie when you were preaching?" It would have made the other guys feel bad, and I don't do that. I better get back to my lesson because I'm running out of time. This is a personal choice based loosely on doctrine or principle combined with opinion, experience, background, culture, and whether you like to say it or not, likes or dislikes. Your likes may be different than my likes. Let me give you a perfect example. I have a standing rule that if I can, I'd rather not eat at a restaurant that on the outside it says bar or bar and grill. I don't want to go to a restaurant that says, you say, "Well, I know some good restaurants that they have a bar." I know, but I just have this thing about if it says it on the outside, I don't go in. Furthermore, if it doesn't say it on the outside, but they have a bar, and I go in, and they say, "It's going to be an hour to be seated unless you want to be seated in the bar." Nope. You say, "So we should do, if we do that, we're sinful?" No. I've actually had members that I said this before, and I walked into a restaurant, and they were sitting in the bar, and the next Sunday they said, "I'm so sorry." And they were apologizing because they thought they were wicked sinners. I'm like, that's my standard. That has nothing to do with you. That's just, I just don't feel comfortable doing that as a pastor. I don't want anybody to get the wrong impression. You say, "Well, they would be wrong because we know you don't drink," blah, blah, blah. My personal preference, my personal conviction, my personal standard. Okay, many years ago, we were going through the grocery store. We were having people over for Thanksgiving. My wife grabbed a bottle of sparkling cider. Anybody know what sparkling cider is? She put that in the buggy, and I went. She goes, "What are you doing?" I go, "I'm not." She goes, at our family, we did this all the time. I go, "I don't care. I'm not buying that. I'm not walking through this store with 2 bottles of sparkling cider. Nobody sees that sparkling cider. All they see is 2 bottles that look like champagne or alcohol and not doing it." You say, "You're crazy." Maybe I am, but that's me. If you drink sparkling cider, I don't care. I had a single adult argue with me one night about this forever. I made the fatal mistake of saying to him, I said, "I try not to buy foreign cars. That's just a principle of mine." And he argued forever about how foreign cars are made and foreign car parts and American cars. And I said, look, I'm not saying you can't buy. I said, that's just something I try not to do. Year later, we're talking. He said, "I just feel bad. I had a real good chance to buy a car. And I realize it's a foreign car and now I can't buy it." And I was like, what? Okay, people, hello. My preferences, mine may be based really loosely off of my thing about the restaurant, the bar thing, is based off the doctrine of separation, right? Personal separation and holiness. And so I go the extra mile. I think I do that because I'm a pastor. That doesn't make me more holy than you. It makes me weird sometimes, but doesn't make... You understand that, right? Don't go... people can have different than you do. So now... Test time. We got 10 minutes. Let me go across the top because I know you want to get all your stuff down. Should that change? Yeah, absolutely. That should change. As a believer grows, his personal convictions and preferences will likely change. By the way, I've sat in many a restaurant that had that said bar on the outside because there was nowhere else to eat and I was hungry. I didn't like it and I didn't want to do it. I didn't violate a biblical principle. It wasn't a conviction of the Holy Spirit in my life. It's just something I'd rather not do. Have I owned a foreign car? Yes. My silly wife likes Volkswagen Beetles. I'm so glad those things are gone. She's had like 6 or 7 of them in her lifetime. And it's funny, last year we got to the place, or maybe 2 or 3 years ago, we were going to buy a new car, our new used car, and I said, I'm going to buy you a brand new Volkswagen Beetle. She goes, I don't like them anymore. Anyway, women. Oh, wait, this is not the masculinity class. My bad. Sorry. Okay, so should they change? Yeah, as a believer grows. Are they a test for... what was the next slide? The heading. I forgot my heading. Oh, there we are. I got to have my both pay. Oh, should we defend them? I don't think you need to defend them, but I don't think there's anything wrong with this. If you want to talk to me after why I believe what I believe about some of those weird things, you're welcome to. You have personal preferences. They're your preferences. If it's not against the Bible, we can talk about it, you know. But if I see you with sparkling cider, I'm checking it. I'm just saying. Don't try to tell me that sparkling cider when you went down that other aisle. I'm not that dumb. Anyway, I don't believe preferences are an essential test of fellowship or association. Possibly, if you feel like it's a conviction, you know, you may get with somebody. If I felt like a conviction, I will not, by the way, go into just a bar. Not happening. I don't care how, if it's a bar. You know, there's a difference between a bar and grill and a bar. I'm not going in a bar. I almost got fired from Wendy's my first week. I was promoted to general manager of a store. My district man, regional manager, came and he wanted to have a management meeting, so he drove us to a bar. And all the guys got out of the car. I'll never forget that. And I'm sitting in the car like, uh-oh. And I just sat there. And he went in. His name was Robbie. Robbie's a Christian now. He's probably listening. But Robbie Valil, he was from India. And all the guys go in, and he stops at the door, and he looks back. And he's looking at me in the car, and he's like, and I just went, I just got promoted. And I'm like, so he comes back. I open the door, and he goes, what are you doing? I go, I'm not going in there. He goes, why not? And I said, I don't go in bars. He goes, well, you don't have to drink. We're just having a meeting. I'm not going in. Boy, he got mad. He was not a Christian at the time. He got mad. I mean, like, where do you want to go? I'm like, oh, boy. I finally decided we would go to Ponderosa, on the old Ponderosa on 38th Street. Some of you may know where that was. And we ate at Ponderosa. He told all the guys, we're having a meeting here because Morris is too good to go into a bar. That's all right. When he left, I got his job. We are good friends. He got saved about 3 years later. He talks to me every day. I love that. Anyway, so understand it. Now, time for a test. Everybody ready for a test? All right, here's what I want you to do. 1, 2, 3, 4, 4. Bible doctrine, principles of holiness. Is it a standard? Is it a personal conviction? Or is it a preference? Or is it a culture thing? I'm going to list them. You don't say anything out loud. You'll offend somebody. But in your own mind, think, which is that? Okay, I'm going to say some things. So number one, salvation by grace through faith. You can say that out loud. Everybody knows that's number one. You better know that's number one in a Baptist church, okay? You're definitely in the wrong place. How about this one? I'll throw you a little curveball. How about the use of playing cards? Because you do know that some people have a strong conviction about the use of playing cards. I'm talking about Ace, Jack, King, Queen, you know, spades, clubs, diamonds, hearts. Okay? And yes, I know what I'm talking about. Okay. Where's that stand? How about this? How about 6 literal days of creation? Think about it. Oh, I got a good one. How about celebrating Christmas in a church? Better yet, how about Christmas trees in a church? Do you realize there's people who have to make those kinds of decisions, okay? How about this? I got a trick one. How about a trick question? On this list, where does abortion fall? I asked somebody earlier today, and they said, number one, that's doctrine. No, it's not. The doctrine is murder. Thou shalt not kill. Abortion is murdering of the unborn. You won't find the word, you're not going to find it aborting anything about aborting babies in the Bible, but you do find about murder, right? And you do find the principle that life begins at conception. The baby is alive in the womb, and therefore it's murder. It would actually be number two. That's a principle, not really a doctrine. You with me? You see how tricky this can be? Now, somebody's going to argue that later. I can just tell you by looking at faces, okay? But that's okay. abstinence from beer, wine, or any alcoholic beverage. Yeah, you got to think now, don't you? Somebody, you think, I know this is a doctrine. Oh, do you do? I'm not saying it's not. I'd be willing to talk with you. Inspiration of Scriptures. Pastors wearing suits to preach. I mean, where? Now, you understand what I'm saying? When you hear these things, and people argue all these... Have I said anything that people don't argue about? You'll find arguments about all these things. You have to determine what you're willing to die for, what you're willing to fight for, and what you're willing to say, okay, I don't agree with you on that, but we can still be friends. And by the way, there are people in this church that don't agree with me on everything. It's okay. But if you don't agree with me on doctrine, or you don't agree with me on principles derived from biblical truth, then we got a problem. Right? Everybody still with me? Okay. Because I want you to make sure you understand. And I've got a couple minutes. Let me give you a couple more. I think I wrote some more down here somewhere. I keep losing pages. Oh, there it is. My goodness. Oh, I know what I was going to say. How about this? What if we decided as a church we're not going to have a midweek service anymore? What does that? You know, really, that kind of bothers me anyway, because, you know, anyway, I don't get it preachy, but you understand what I'm saying? Each one of those things have to be determined for some reason. And the reason you do things, you have to know. Am I talking about a doctrine that I would die for? Am I talking about a principle I would fight for? Am I talking about an institutional standard that can and sometimes should change? Sometimes higher, sometimes lower. You agree? Would you agree that there's some standards? Let's just be blunt. Would you agree, how many would agree with me, that you would agree that there's some standards probably at Faith Baptist Church that should be raised, and there's some standards at Faith Baptist Church that could be lowered? Yes or no? How many would agree with that? Raise your hand. Of course you do. Don't be surprised. Some of you are looking at me like, oh, you don't agree with your... No, I'm not... It's okay. And by the way, there are definitely preferences, right? Talk to Pastor Ogden and Pastor about parking blocks. My goodness. Woo! They got some... There's no biblical doctrine about it. Although Steve would say, thou shalt not kill, right, Steve? That's the biblical doctrine he's going with. He believes in more than that. So, let me tell you. So, here's where I stand. Let's say, and I'm going to run out of time. Let's say right here, absolute biblical truth. Right here, absolute biblical error. Where should I allow people to operate within? Anywhere in those parameters, right? If you add extra biblical, well, this is truth when it's not, no, I'll argue with you over that. I'll fight you. No, that's not in the Bible. You can't say that. Sometimes as pastors, we do that. Sometimes we don't mean to. We go a little too far. Well, the Bible says, and if the Bible says that, then this, and now we're getting off on our opinion and our preference, not doctrine. Anybody ever heard that? Seen that happen? Dangerous. Just as dangerous when you know that there's biblical error and you say, you know, I know what the Bible says, but in our society or in our... Nope. Don't do that. Now, let me say something. Marcy, if you operate here and I operate here, strict question, am I more spiritual than you? No. And if Derek is here, he's obviously more spiritual than Marcy, right? Derek? You wanted to say yes so bad, didn't you? He was like, doggone it. No! And you understand? So I'm going to allow you to operate as a pastor. I don't have any problem if you're operating in those parameters. But if you start preaching extra biblical truth, you say this is what the Bible says, you can't prove it, stop it. I will challenge you on it. And if you start saying, I don't care what the Bible says, stop it. I don't know. You know, there's so much out there on that side and so much on that side. I don't know why you waste your time arguing about the guy sitting in the seat next to you. You're being silly. Well, I think hair. Who cares what you think about my hair? I actually am happy I still have hair. Okay? It was red and now it's gray, but it's still white. But it's still there, right? So don't get caught up in all this when you don't even know what it means when I say the blood atonement. You can't defend salvation by grace. Right? You can't defend eternal security. You don't know anything about Satan and how he operates. You don't know any of those biblical... But you'll fight about which side of the auditorium the piano should be. And should we have a band or an orchestra. You'll fight about that. Now, you see how silly we are sometimes? You know where churches split? Very rarely do fundamental Baptist churches split on that side or that side. It's right here. Because you're not just like me. Well, thank God we're not just like each other. Would you really like to have a whole church full of Morris Hunsuckers? My goodness gracious, no. And I could name a lot of other names I wouldn't want a whole church full of either. Up to and including Dr. Mark Monty, right? One of them is enough for any church. Make sure you know, listen to me, make sure you know what you're talking about and make sure you major on the majors and not on the minors. Someday you'll all get to heaven, find out I was right. That's the Pastor Monty, I'm sorry. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for these simple biblical truths, and I pray that you'll help us to make sure that what we're teaching, what we're preaching, when it comes to Bible doctrine and Bible principles, is not only correct, but it's absolutely 100% scriptural. Help us not to worry so much about these standards, although we have to have them, and I think it's right to have them. And Lord, I think they'll change and move up and down as time goes on. And help us not to bicker over simple preferences, our likes and dislikes. How silly we are sometimes. We don't even follow Christ. We don't yield to the Holy Spirit. We don't read our Bible. We don't witness. And all those things we know are right. And yet we're worried about what somebody else is wearing. Help us, Lord, to major on the things that are important. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.